Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, verses 22 through 26. Exodus chapter 20, the verses 22 through 26. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy word. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites this, you have seen for yourselves that I have spoken to you from heaven. Do not make any gods to be alongside me. Do not make for yourselves gods of silver or gods of gold. Make an altar of earth for me and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, your sheep and your goats and your cattle. Wherever I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and bless you. If you make an altar of stones for me, do not build it with dressed stones, for you will defile it if you use a tool on it. And do not go up to my altar on steps, lest your nakedness be exposed on it." Thus the reading of God's word this morning. There are many people who look at these last few verses of Exodus chapter 20, and they wonder if these verses have been placed in the right spot. Many commentators look at these last verses, and they're left asking themselves, why would God include verses here which describe the building of an altar? In this chapter in which God has proclaimed His holiness through the law, His holiness as He appeared to His people at Mount Sinai, why now instructions for building an altar? Perhaps these instructions should be placed later on in the book of Exodus as God gives the people the instructions for building the tabernacle. If you look at the context of these verses, you see that they stand between God's moral law in Exodus 20 and God's civil laws in Exodus chapter 21. But we know that God has placed these verses here because God has something very important that He wants us to see. God has something very important that He has for us to know about these verses, which are very closely connected to His law and to His holiness. In Exodus chapters 19 and Exodus chapters 20, we read of God's people standing before Mount Sinai as a covenant is made with them. And in verse 21 of Exodus 20, we read this: "The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was." The people have remained at a distance from God. They have been separated from Him. Why? Because God has revealed Himself to them. As God has revealed Himself on this mountain, in the fire and in the smoke, in the trembling of the mountain as God shook it with an earthquake, the people remained at a distance. But it was not only the power of God that they saw as His holiness was displayed before them, but also His law, His moral law, separated them from God. God's holiness was visible on top of the mountain, but His Ten Commandments of holiness separated His people from Him. They are sinners. God is holy. And as they stand in His presence, they remain at a distance. Now remember, at the beginning of this section, the people have declared by covenant that they will do everything that God has said. Look at verse 8 of chapter 19. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to God. As God made His covenant with His people have promised to do everything that He has said. And now as God has spoken from heaven with these words of the Ten Commandments of His moral law, They are now thinking about what God said. We are to obey His covenant. We are to obey His words. We have promised that we will do everything that He said. But we are sinners, and we stand before a holy God. And so as the episode at Mount Sinai ends, as God's holiness has been displayed in His law and visibly in His power, the people are at a distance, and the section ends with the altar. The section ends with God's provision of forgiveness. The people are at a distance, and God knows and His people know that they cannot approach Him. And so at the end, in verses 22 through 26, we read of God's provision for forgiveness so that His people can go to Him, so that His people can know Him, so that they can know, even though they may not be perfectly holy, God has provided a way for them. Now, one thing that becomes very clear from these verses is that this way of forgiveness is only going to be done by God. Nothing they do is going to enable them to be able to go to God and experience forgiveness. God's provision of forgiveness will be done only by Him. No one else. No other way. Only God will provide the way. Only God's words from heaven will teach them what they must do and how they can be forgiven. No effort of their own will enable them to be forgiven. Look at verse 23. Do not make for yourself any gods to be alongside me. Do not make for yourself gods of silver or gods of gold. In the ancient religions that the Israelites lived around and knew at later time in their lives, people would make images of their gods. They would create an image of what they believed their God was like or what their God represented. By use of gold and silver, they would make a beautiful image, an image which would cause them to worship and understand their God and look to their God. But this God was only that, a very image that was created in their own minds. It had nothing to do with their God and who He was and what He had done. It was a creation of their own. And so when God speaks to His people, one of the most important things He tells them is that they must not create an image of Him. Their image of Him must come from His words from heaven, not of their own creation, not of their own thoughts, not of their own ideas. Their image of God must be the image that God has given them. His words, His holiness, His perfection. No gold or silver or precious metal can possibly compare to Him and His value and what He has done. Notice verse 25. If you make an altar of stones for me, do not build it with dressed stones, for you will defile it if you use a tool on it. Once again, the ancient pagan people, in their false religions, would build altars with fancy stones. As they worshiped their gods, they would use their own craftsmanship, their own specific tools and talents to make a beautiful altar as they worshiped their gods. And soon the altar represented not necessarily what the god was, but their own craftsmanship. People would admire those altars. God wants no part of that in his provision for forgiveness. As they make this altar in which they will worship him, in which they will know forgiveness of sins, this altar will be made not with dressed stones, not with tools, but a plain altar made with wilderness stones. If the altar is too fancy, if the altar is made too well, when people look at that altar, they're not going to think what the altar represents. They're going to think about what that altar was built with. They're going to think about who built that altar. They're going to admire the craftsmanship of the one who put it together. It's almost as if the communion table is so fancy that people forget what it represents. God wants his altar made with wilderness stones, not dressed stones. And finally, verse 26. And do not go up to my altar on steps, lest your nakedness be exposed on it. Altars in the ancient world were built with steps. Steps in which a person could walk up closer to be nearer to their God. The people believed that the gods lived in the skies, and as they climbed their altar, they could climb closer to where their God was. They could go closer to where he dwelled. They could approach their God in that particular way. That's what happened at Babel, isn't it? The peoples of the earth tried to build a tower that would reach to the heavens so they could be like God. But our verse even goes a step further. Our verse says not only an altar with steps, but lest their nakedness be exposed on it. As the Israelites were to enter the land of Canaan, they ran into many of these altars. Altars by Asherah. Altars in which people could climb up closer to the goddess Asherah and there participate in the cult. The cult in which people joined with prostitutes in order to worship the goddess Asherah. God forbids any such thing. His people must never think that they can build an altar with steps and climb closer to where he is. His people must never think that they could adopt pagan practices to worship God as others worship their gods, so we can worship our God. How could they think such a thing? That's what they did. When they entered the land of Canaan, they adopted those practices. They did those very things. And so as God describes his provision for forgiveness in this last part of this chapter in which God has given the law, he describes what it must not be. It must not be human engineering. It must not be thinking they can draw closer to him. It must not be silver and gold with an image of who they think God is. What must it be then? Verse 22. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites this. You have seen for yourselves that I have spoken to you from heaven." God has provided forgiveness from heaven. God has provided the revelation of his holiness and of his law from heaven. God has spoken to Israel and instructed them how they are to worship him from heaven. People should not worship according to earthly customs, according to their own efforts. People worship God following the words from heaven. Well, what are those words? Verse 24. Make an altar of earth for me and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, your sheep and goats and your cattle. Whenever I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and bless you. God instructs the people from heaven to build an altar. And on that altar they will sacrifice a burnt offering. An animal, sheep, goats, cattle, oxen, say some of your translations. An animal, a victim will be taken and burned on that altar. A life will be destroyed. A life will be burned and evaporated for sin. God has provided forgiveness. The people stand before God at a distance, knowing that they are sinners. God provides a victim, a sacrifice on an earthly altar. And not only is there a burnt offering, but it tells us that there is a peace offering. As Israel has stood before Mount Sinai, they have witnessed anything but peace. God has appeared on that mountain and has frightened them and scared them as they stood and trembled before the smoke like a furnace and the thunder and the lightning. His moral law has separated them from God as they remain at a distance. But now, on this offering, they can find peace. Peace with a holy God. God will provide forgiveness. God, with the words of heaven, will direct the way. He will give these instructions so they can remain faithful to His covenant, even though they are still sinners. And finally, the last part of verse 24, whenever I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and bless you. God will bless them not just here on this altar, but wherever His name is honored, wherever His words are obeyed, wherever His covenant is kept, not because of perfect obedience, but because of perfect worship. Worship which is not centered on human effort, but worship which is centered on God's way, on God's plan, on God's grace. But what about us? These verses are not verses which were written a long time ago, which don't have meaning for us. Because our God is still holy. His law is still in effect. These commandments that God has given to Israel still apply and still have meaning today. God is still holy. As He appeared before His people at Mount Sinai and caused them to tremble, so is God still holy and standing as we stand before Him, as sinners stand before Him, they should tremble. But what has God provided? In verse 22 we read that the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites this, you have seen for yourselves that I have spoken to you from heaven." Now remember, in the previous section, verse 19, the people said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." The people were frightened at God's voice. They were frightened to hear what he had to say because of the power and the glory of his words. And they asked Moses to do the speaking for them. And so, when God tells Moses to tell the Israelites, "You have seen for yourselves that I have spoken to you from heaven," how did God speak to them? Moses came down the mountain and he spoke the words from heaven to the people. God has provided for us someone much greater than Moses. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, we read these words. "The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." As God spoke to Israel through Moses, as the words of heaven came to his people through Moses, so has God in our day spoken through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word that became flesh. He does come bringing the words of God. He spoke and lived God's commands. He obeyed God's covenant. And he died on the altar. God did not give an altar that we could build or think that we could accomplish it on our own. He died not on an altar made of fancy stones, but on a cross. He didn't die on an altar in which we can climb up on with steps and die with him. But he died on that cross on his own. We can create no precious metal or image of him which comes close to being as precious as what he is and what he did. Because he was that burnt offering. As Israel leaves the holiness of God at Mount Sinai and his appearance on the mountain, as they carry with them this moral law, knowing that they are lawbreakers, they take hope in the burnt offering. We take hope in the sin offering, the death of our Savior, whose body was destroyed, who was killed for our sins, for our violation of this law, whose life was given for our life, as the wages of sin is death. And he provides the peace offering. You see, this law is not expired. God's holiness is not expired. Those two things still stand today just as they stood at Mount Sinai. God is just as holy. His law is just as true. But God's grace is so much greater. For his Son has come and has paid this price. His Son has come and has brought us peace. And wherever his name is honored, he will come and bless those who love him. No, these verses are not put here by mistake or out of place. The entire Sinai section is driven to this conclusion. As this law is given, as this covenant is made, God knows that his people cannot obey it perfectly. That's why he provides forgiveness. That's why he provides the altar. That's what gives us hope despite our law breaking. Let us look to Christ. Let us worship with the words He has spoken from heaven. Let us not think that we can create our own way, our own forgiveness, our own faithfulness, or take any credit for what He has done. For His cross has done it all. His resurrection has given us life. He has given us a future. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank You for these verses which conclude the giving of the law. We thank You, Lord, that You do not leave Your people standing at a distance from You. But with the forgiveness that You have provided through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace. We may approach You and dwell with You. And Lord, we pray that as we examine our lives, as we think about Your holiness and Your law, that You would always drive us to worship You in a way that Christ receives all the glory. We pray, O Lord, that as He does receive all the glory, we may worship Him with all of our hearts. Our lives may be dedicated to Him, and we may live for Him forever. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.